Tonight we have opportunity to bring our prayer requests to God. A little bit later I'll just go around the room and ask you if you have a request, and then we'll pray together. But I think it's important that as we began tonight, that we turn our eyes upon Jesus. That we look to Him. That we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And it's good for us, as we bring our request, to turn our eyes to the God who is able to answer. The God who hears and answers our prayers. That's why we pray. Our prayers are meaningless unless we believe and understand that there is a God who hears and a God who answers. Maybe not always the answer that we expect or the answer that we want or in the time that we want it, but God is at work to answer your prayers. We've been considering some passages from the book of Daniel, and tonight I just would like you we'll just briefly look at some verses in Daniel chapter 2. On the back of these sheets, there is a little space, you know, for some notes if you'd want to take notes, but there are little titles given to the different chapters. And for Daniel chapter 2, the title that I gave it is, Give God Glory for Answered Prayer. Now, I don't think that when we would originally, or when we initially read Daniel 2, we think about answered prayer. I think when we read Daniel 2, we think about this king who is saying to his wise men and astrologers, he has a dream. And you know what he says to them? He calls them and he says, I don't want you just to give me the interpretation of the dream. I want you to tell me what I dreamt. And if you can't tell me what I dreamt, then I'm not going to believe that you know the interpretation. He says, because you guys have been leading me astray a long time. And so, to make sure you got it right, you're going to tell me what the dream was, and then you're going to tell me what the interpretation was. And he says, if you don't, he was a little crazy. He was like this, right? And so they said, but O king, there is nobody who could answer this request. It only dwells with the gods. And no king has ever asked his astrologers and his magicians and his diviners to do what you're asking us to do. So how do you think he responded to that? He got even... Is the word matter? Is that a word? No, matter is not a word. He got really angry. And he said, you know, all right, okay. All of them, Arioch, all of them, I want them all killed. Now, who was in this group? Huh? Daniel and his friends were part of that group of advisors, or whatever you want to call it. They're given different names, magicians and astrologers, and Daniel was not a magician in that sense, but he was part of the king's advisors, and they were counselors, and they were all included in this group. And so Arioch knocks on the door and says, Daniel, you know, I'm here to kill you, basically. And Daniel says, wait a second, what's the hurry? And so he hadn't been called. He wasn't part of that group that had stood before the king and said, you know, king, we can't tell you. And so when Arioch explained it to him, he said, wait, well, take me to the king. I'm going to ask him for more time. And that's what he did. All right, so I just tried to summarize the first part of that story. Let me just turn here. I have my wife's Bible again. You know why I like it? You probably can see it from over there. Right, Brother Bob?
Right, I mean, that's large print. Boy, that's great.
All right, I can see it. So this is what I just so you see what I was saying. So verse 11, it says, This is the advisors responding to the king at first. They say, the thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? And the king went in, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time, or to appoint him more time, that he might show the interpretation to the king. So now what do you think Daniel's going to do? You think he's going to pray? What would you do? What would you do if your life was on the line? You would run. Good answer. Well, Daniel did what was the right thing to do. He went to God. But first he went to his friends. And I want you to see these. So these are like little lessons in the bigger story. These are truths that I think God puts in his word. And we could easily, you know, just pass over it because we want to get to the dream. We want to get to the interpretation. We want to understand what that gold statue, the gold head and the silver, we want to know what that means. And we miss that there's a part here that is so important for us. So when Daniel was faced with this difficult situation, who did he go to? He went to God, but he also went to his friends. Now, these were godly friends. These were the three friends that in chapter 1, and we'll maybe get there one night in our talk, these were the friends that said, you know what, we're not going to go along with what everybody else is doing. We're not going to eat the king's food. We're not going to drink his wine. We are going to keep ourselves undefiled in the sight of our God. And they took their stand for God and for what they believed, and they were godly young men surrounded by a group of worldly, as it were, or heathen men. And so when Daniel was faced with this crisis, he went to his godly friends. And it says, he made the matter known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So to ask mercy of God is saying we need to pray. Come on, we need to pray together about this. We need to seek God about this. Surely God can show us this dream and what the king is asking us.
Those are the Hebrew names, right?
Yes.
We know their Babylonian names.
Yes.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Correct, right. These were their Hebrew names. And so they begin to pray. Now, I don't know how long they prayed, but the story goes on. The Bible tells us, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And so it seems almost immediately. They had gathered together, they prayed together, and maybe they decided, all right, let's go to our individual rooms or homes and we're going to continue to pray. But that night, as Daniel slept, now that's another amazing thing, right? What would you do if you knew that tomorrow morning they were coming for you? Would you sleep? You'd be wide awake. And yet somehow, God brought a peace. And I just want you to see that. God works the same way, beloved.
Amen.
God will bring a peace into maybe the most troubling situation if you would just take the time to talk to him about it. You're committed to him in prayer. And if we truly cast our care upon him, then, you know, we have to be willing to let go of our worries and our anxieties. And I know that's maybe easier said than done. I realize that. But I believe that God is able for that. That's what I'm trying to say. I know this is not a natural response. The natural response, like George said, I'm going to try to run. I'm going to try to hide. But Daniel and his three friends face this the way that we need to face difficulties and trials. We need to come to God in prayer, commit it to Him. You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now listen to this. Let your requests be known unto God. Pray about it. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's my translation. Well, maybe not, but a paraphrase of that, right? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Bring everything to God in prayer. And so here was a very difficult situation, and yet they were able to bring it to God. Daniel was able to fall asleep. And in that sleep, God gives him a vision and says, here's the dream and here's the interpretation. Now, what do you think Daniel does? And this is an important lesson right here. What does Daniel do? Does he run right away to the king? What's the first thing that he does? What does it say right here? Daniel answered and said, or it says, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongeth wisdom and might. He changes times and season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us, I like that too, the king's matter. So he included his friends in it, you know? Those fellows that had prayed together, banded together with him, they also were part of this answer. And he said, God, you've given the vision to us. In answer to our prayers, you have revealed the secret, the mystery. And I was just so blessed by just this little passage. Because it shows me, you know, and maybe you're good at this, but I think we all could be better at this. That when God answers our prayers, that we immediately give him the glory, we give him the praise, we give him the honor, we thank him. You know, we've been even taught to, when we pray, well, as soon as we finish praying, we ought to give him the thanks for the answer. We ought to give him the credit, because he's going to do it, right? In faith. But this ought to be our proper response to it. After he finished that, he said he went to Arioch, and he said, Arioch, take me to the king. And then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king. I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. And the king said, are you able to make known to me the dream, this is verse 26, that I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel said, oh yes, I am the smartest one in your realm. Is that what he said? No. What did he say? He said, no wise men, no enchanters, no magicians or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and who has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in the bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. And so here I also see something that marks Daniel and what made him such a influential advisor. He was humble. He gave credit to God. He gave credit to God. And he said, "No, you know, no one really can answer your question, King. There's really no one, and I'm not anything special. But there's a God who has wanted to reveal to you what's going to take place in the days to come. And so he gave you that dream, and he's given to me the interpretation." And so I don't necessarily need us to finish the story, but you know how the story ends. I mean, this chapter anyway. It's a vision of the kingdoms. The kingdoms of that day and then what was to come. And it's something that you can trace through pretty well through history. But it was something that God desired to show to Nebuchadnezzar. You know, at the end of this chapter, maybe let's just jump ahead there real quick. He gives him the interpretation. He tells him the dream. He gives him the interpretation. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 48, fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. I mean, he's treating him like he's a god. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." I think, again, as I have read this book through this past year or recently, it's kind of taken on a little bit of a new meaning to me to see how God was working with this king. You know, I never paid attention much to Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he was a king. He had conquered, you know, he just plays into this story of Daniel. But I see how God was showing him things. And he didn't have a perfect knowledge at this point. You know, if this is in chronological order, then the next chapter, really, he kind of takes a step backwards. And he throws the Hebrew children into the fiery furnace. And in that chapter, what happens? There's four people in the furnace, right? I mean, God is continually trying to speak to this man. And so here he gives, he's coming along on the way, you know. Your God is the God of gods. Your God is the Lord of kings. He's a revealer of mysteries. For you have been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief perfect over all the wise men of Babylon. And then Daniel made a request to the king. I like this also. And he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. So he didn't forget his friends. Even though he was blessed, he had all the honor as was bestowed upon him. Hey, I've had three friends that prayed with me. And so I'm bringing them along with me on this promotion. Just some good life lessons for us, you know? So what was the first lesson? When in trouble, what should you do?
Pray.
Pray. Well, okay, pray. But before you pray, get together with some godly friends, right? Get together with some prayer partners. And let's say you have a prayer partner. You have someone to call when you need prayer help. Do you have someone?
Yeah.
Do you know someone? Yes, I know God is there. And I'm not minimizing that at all. But you know what? Sometimes it's good to talk to someone. And to share the burden with someone. And to say, "Can you believe with me? Can we believe together that God's going to answer our prayer?
Yes.
I need help. You know, I may be feeling a little discouraged. I really don't know what to do. Can we pray together?" And if you don't have someone like that, well, find someone like that. You need those type of people in your life. People that are going to stand with you in faith. Not tell you, "Oh yes, you know, do this, do that, do the other thing. You know, I found this on the internet. You should be doing this." No. What does the Bible say? You want someone who can quote the Bible to you. Give you a verse. Encouragement. Amen?
Amen.
very practical. This is practical. This is down to earth. This is boots on the ground. What else you want to call it? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what you need to know. Find people that you can pray with. Find godly friends that are going to encourage you in the things of the Lord. You know, our brother last night suggested, well, maybe we have to replace some of our friends. Put it mildly, replace them, you know? Well, replace them with godly friends. You know, I admire... I admire Francisco. Cisco. I've known Cisco since he was a baby. But the one thing I admire about Cisco, one of the things, is that he brings his friends to God.
Amen.
And so we need to seek out godly friends. You have a good friend, Edward, and Cisco. And I know I could go back through the rows here and say similar things, but the point is this. Let's pray together. Let's seek mercies of our God. Are we going to do that tonight?
Yes.
Yes. And we're going to do it together, right? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We stand together. We may be from different places. We may be from different churches, different countries, different cultures. It doesn't matter. We are one in Christ, and we band together at the throne of grace, and we say, Lord, help us. We come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. And there are many examples in the Bible like that, where people came to Jesus, needed his help. The four friends, that's a good story, isn't it? The four friends brought their friend to Jesus. They showed us this way of faith. They weren't going to be denied. There's a crowd at the door. Well, too bad. Let's break up the roof. I don't know whose idea that was, but it worked, you know? And we have to persist at it and pray through. And then God gives the answer. And what do? God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. Every answer to prayer ought to be a time of testimony, as it were. A time of giving him thanks. And making sure that he gets the glory. You know, I wonder how many times we've kind of maybe been a little backward, you know, to actually tell people that it was God who helped us. And God who answered our prayer. Well, that might sound a little weird. I tell people I prayed about it. No. Tell people you prayed about it. Tell people that God brought the answer. It's not about me. It's about God. I have a great, big, wonderful God. And he's the God that hears and answers prayer. All right. Those were the lessons. Did you get them?
Yes.
Yes? I can start over again. No. The Holy Spirit has to write these things upon our hearts, beloved, and make them real to us. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.